Yeah, it's recorded. Hey, John.
Hello.
Thanks. Thanks much.
I feel like I ran off on a tangent there. I didn't mean to do that.
Oh, that's okay. You want to? We record sometimes a segment that I put up on just for our email letter list. We've got about 1,700 folks on that list. And I was hoping we might be able to continue our conversation just a bit because this idea is kind of interesting to me that you think that everybody seems to think that they want to put storage up. But the idea that if they don't put storage up, that this is going to push the price of corn down every fall is unique.
My attitude is, and maybe I'm wrong on this, maybe I'm clear wrong, but the cost and the capital cost to put up a half a billion bushels more per year every year for the foreseeable future is a tremendous capital cost. And I see a lot of farmers just not facing up to that. And I see a lot of elevators not facing up to that. I see some facing up to it, but I see a lot not facing up to it.
John, this is Dan Zwicker.
Hi, Dan.
I don't disagree with you. We need more storage. The question is, I guess, who's going to put it up? But that's what you're pointing out, who's going to put the capital into doing it. The elevator managers don't seem to have the margins to really
put
it
up. They don't have the capital, no.
They don't have the capital. The only thing, you know, I know is that farmers that have a whole bunch of storage are usually the poorest marketers, the ones that are short of storage that know that they got to get something sold.
They are during certain environments. They were certainly not the people who were hurt the worst during the 1970s when we moved into a new environment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they were not hurt, you know, when we had a big move up in the 1990 late 1990s, but traditionally, they are. Traditionally, they are poor. They traditionally will put it in the bin, and then they wait too long, and then they call me now and say, what do I do with what's in the bin?
Right.
I agree with that. But what we've all done is we've all trained them to sell increasing percentages of their crops ahead. And my belief is that the best corn price I got this summer, hitting the high of the market for delivery this fall, will not be as good as the price level I would get next summer.
Yeah, but there's other ways of owning that inventory. I mean, you don't necessarily have to own it in the cash market. But don't you think, though, the farm bill or the marketing loan concept has aggravated this deepness of basis levels and these low prices during
sure
harvest
yeah.
simply
yeah.
because the farmer doesn't really care because he's subsidized, you know, at point X all the way down. It could go to zero. It doesn't, you know. So where's the incentive to buy storage at that point? Now, see, if you didn't have that subsidy, well, then there would probably push people more into wanting to own storage because it pays then. But right now, you know, you're covered. So just peel it out. And, of course, I think end users take advantage of that. I mean, it's a subsidy of the end user market more so than a subsidy of the farmers. But I think now if we are indeed maybe in a little higher price level, now, you know, the farm program, loan levels and all that's going to have to change in here, I think, in order to trigger some of that stuff.
What if the government gets in the business of putting bins back up or helping pay for
they
bins?
They are. They actually there's you can put up a bin and get a low interest loan to do that.
Yeah, they brought that out two or three years ago. I remember that
program
coming
out. You know, in Cargill, well, if you'll commit your corn to Cargill, they'll put up a bin for you. So I mean, so there are some incentives to do it, but what my bet is that it isn't going to happen fast enough. According to the USDA numbers, the Illinois corn crop, or the total Illinois crops compared to storage, will be 22% over the size. The crop and inventory will be 22% bigger than your storage capacity. Now, I don't know that those USDA numbers are all that accurate. I've had some people question me on them. I haven't really checked them back with the USDA, but those are the kind of surpluses that you're facing this year.
I'm not much on statistics, but do you know what that kind of what were those numbers? Let's say back in the '60s. I mean, how much storage to compared to production did we have? Did we have since we were in the grain reserve business? Did we have a whole bunch more storage than what we produced? Is that
well? We started losing some storage back in my data goes back to 1990, and in Illinois. Let me pull this up here. This, by the way, I'm using FC Stone's data here, so. Should give them the credit. Let me pull up Illinois here. storage actually went down, and in 1990, the stocks as a percentage of capacity were 83.9% in 1990. They got up to 103.6 in 94. In 2000, they're 104, 104.5 in 2001, 115 in 2004, and 122 is forecast for this year based on the numbers we have to date. So you have a worse storage situation than what you had in 2004, according to the USDA numbers. Mm-hmm. Now, whether that's, you know, whether they're off here, I mean, I don't know, but by comparison purposes, you have a worse storage situation this fall. And see, what I hear everybody doing is everybody's looking for a low in this market to be just around the corner, and I don't think anybody has confronted that yet.
So you're looking for another train wreck, almost like last year, as far
as
the basis
of LDP goes? Well, I don't
think
it'll be as bad as last year, because last year we didn't know what we could ship out. We didn't know what was going to happen in New Orleans, and so we had some extra hurt there. So I don't know that it'll be that bad. But take away Katrina, and you in Illinois have worse than you had last year. You have worse than you had in 04. And see, I don't think anybody's really facing up to that whole issue. And then if you extrapolate that out and say, okay, well, what are you going to need next year and the year after? I think it's a big deal, and I think that that's going to separate a lot of people. If you're having to sell in the weather scare ahead of harvest versus the weather scare after harvest, I think in the environment we're in, the weather scare after harvest will be much bigger than the one before harvest.
You mentioned infrastructure change, and I'm wondering about this just a bit in terms of farmers that can afford to put up the storage, or the larger operations, the ADMs, the Cargills, the Bungies, that can afford to pay to put up the storage, and what kind of impact that might have. And I'll go back to the question I asked, which is, does this mean that farm size either has to get much larger so that they have the capital investment to do that, or that the grain companies are going to put up a whole lot more storage in the future?
I don't see the grain companies putting up a whole lot more storage. I don't see that they see that really as so much of a benefit compared to some of the other uses for capital. I think it's going to fall back on the farmer. And when you said, will this contribute to farms becoming bigger? I think it will. I think also the need to put in more corn and not as many beans will contribute to farms getting bigger, because I think some of the small farms won't do it. I think some of the smaller farmers will just stay with their corn bean rotations that they have, and I think it'll put them at a competitive disadvantage. I'm not convinced that we've bought the acres yet on corn. All I see that's happened here with the new crop corn going down is a lot of the fund longs have been clear out in the distant markets, and those distance markets have finally broken down enough that you're getting some selling signals out there forcing some liquidation. It's amazing to me that we still have the funds, according to the report out today, that we still have the funds. Let me pull up here. According to the last count, the funds were long 136,000 contracts in corn. And after taking off what they did on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, they're down to 125. That's still 125,000 long contracts when December corn is making new contract lows. That's just not, I mean.
Yeah, it's just about 40% of their peak long position, really. So
I've never seen the funds wait this long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's uncharacteristic of them to take that much heat on a position, that's for sure.
So, I don't want to come off as being real bearish to market, because I'm really not. I'm quite positive the market, but I think we have a relatively fixed door size to go through, and we're all going to try to go through that door at about the same time, and I'm not sure it's big enough. So I guess I think we still have, I think the DEES comes down to where the SEP is, and I guess I think we could know, maybe get down to, you know, the 210, 215 on D's corn. I don't know. I'm never any good at picking lows.
John, if you had to guess what percentage of the ethanol plants that are up and operating as of now, what percentage of their needs for the next year they've actually covered via forward, you know, contracts? Or
I'd say most of them have everything covered.
Oh, really?
I mean, I think it's just been way too profitable not to own something. And remember, the board of directors of these ethanol plants are by and large farmers, and they're, you know, I've never seen people get more bullish than what they got this year.
Well, mm-hmm. And aren't those covered, at least the farmer-owned ones, aren't those covered automatically?
Some are.
Generally speaking, I mean,
when they commit corn.
Yeah, they committed corn when they bought in. So a lot of those mm-hmm. needs are already covered.
I think a lot are covered, and I think they've sold the ethanol back on that.
And not only are they covered, not only are they covered, but if you read the corn contracts, the guys are on the line. If the corn goes up in price, they're on the line to cover the loss.
Some of them are. I mean, each one is a little bit different. I'm not sure whether more of them have corn committed or more don't. If I were betting, I'd bet more don't have corn committed.
No, I think I checked two or three different contracts on different plants, and they all read the same, which is you're committed this much, and if price goes against us, you're committed for just as much or a portion of that again, but we'll pay you back when prices come back down. So it's an interesting look. Will this storage problem be a bloodbath for farmers? You suggested that we're going to lose farmers, but how much? How many?
Well, it just depends. We've all trained farmers to sell ahead. And so farmers are more willing to sell ahead. The good farmers are more willing to sell ahead and have a greater percentage of their crop sold. And those people, I think, they'll be just fine. But
you know, are they selling? I got to stop you there. Are they selling ahead, or are they just more willing to wait until March, April, and May and June to sell, whether they're selling ahead or selling behind?
Well, that varies from year to year. I think this year, the fact that we were above 250 corn, I think, probably got more sold ahead than we've had in the past. To what extent, I don't know. But I have seen some books, open interest books, on some you know, people that deal with, you know, the sell side or the hedge side of the equation, and it does indicate that there's probably a little bit more sales on the books than what there was maybe a year ago.
I'd even suggest that it's lots more. And it's not only for 06 delivery, it's 07, 08. And I think people just looked out and said, these are good opportunities, and just wade into them.
Right. Now, beans, I don't think hardly anybody's got any beans sold.
No.
I think they still own half of their old crop beans.
It seems like it.
Did you see July 09? Was up 7 cents today.
Is that right?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see that.
That must have been two trades out there.
I think it was. It opened there, and it did. That was two trades. That was all that was there. I saw that. Okay. Anything else to add before we let you all go for the day? John, we appreciate you being on Extra Long with us. Thanks much.
Thank you much, guys. Nice talking to you.
Thanks.
Have a nice weekend.
Yep. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.